Welcome to the snooze button. Hey, I'm Brittany of Brittany, She, and Sleep. I've got 99 problems, but my kid sleeping isn't one.
What up, hoes? I'm sorry, that I shouldn't have said that. That was not appropriate. I'm probably going to have to mark this episode as explicit now because I said the word hoe. Well, now I've said it twice. I hope no one's listening to this with impressionable children. I'm so sorry. I don't usually swear. I really try not to on this podcast because, you know, it is family friendly, if you will. I'm in a mood today. So we're going to talk about nap transitions. So specifically, like when and when you would not change your child's nap schedule. And I'm really, for the intent of this episode, I'm talking about babies. So anybody who is at least 10 weeks old, which is when in my practice we would start getting on like a true genuine schedule if and when the family's ready, all the way up until the 2-to-1 nap transition. So that's kind of like the age range we're talking about here. So I thought I would do this today because it does come up, you know, a lot with, for I would say returning clients is the biggest time when. So for context here, anyone who works with me one-on-one has a complimentary follow-up call to use within a few months after they graduate, after their last day they're in plan with me. So of course, over the years, I've noticed patterns of like, why do people reach out and have that call, right? And that's good context for me to understand if things aren't working, if they are working, like what are the challenges? And besides travel, which I would say is the number one reason people reach out, they're like, we're going to London for the first time, or like we're changing time zones and we just wanna talk through, you know, what we'll do on the go and that kind of stuff. Beyond that, the most common reason they'll reach out a month, 2, 3 months later is because they're like, we think we're ready for 2 naps. We just want to talk you through what's been happening and see if you agree and, like, you know, decide, like, you know, they want just like a little bit of confidence boost. Yes or no, this is the right time to transition naps. Because everybody who works with me in the baby stage gets their next schedule saying like, all right, between these age ranges, your baby's going to be ready for this nap schedule. So given how often it comes up with my own clients, I, of course, know that it's a thought that's going through a lot of parents' minds as well in the baby stage. So what I want to talk about is a couple of things. What's normal in terms of like the ranges babies are ready. Oh my God, I'm like losing my shit. I'm like knocking things off my desk. The range that it's normal for babies to transition from 4 to 3 naps, 3 to 2 naps, and 2 to 1 naps. Why I extremely rarely would ever suggest moving earlier than those ranges, signs to look for that your baby's ready, how to do it, and what are some exceptions to the rule. Okay, so let's talk first about what's normal. So we're going to start with a baby who's on 4 naps. So let's assume like that's, you know, that's to me the earliest, or that's the maximum number of naps I would ever like schedule for a child. Of course, in the newborn stage, they might be napping 5 times a day or whatever, but they're not on like a true like clock schedule, right? So that to me starts with 4 naps. So babies are ready to move from 4 naps to 3 somewhere between 16 and 24 weeks. That's the range we see. I would say within that range, the most common like actual time they are ready is around 19 or 20 weeks, right? But it's a range, right? So it's, you could be 16 weeks, you could be 24. What's normal to transition from 3 to 2? That is somewhere in month 7 or 8. I would say most babies are ready around 7.5 months. But it's really like within their 7th month or within their 8th month, that's typically the range we see. Now, moving from 2 to 1 nap, between 14 and 18 months is the range. And the most common age I see babies generally being ready is between 15 and 16 months. Like that's the more narrow time within that range. So the 2 to 1 nap transition is a beast. It's the most complex. It's generally the most challenging. I have an entire episode just about that. I don't want to get into the weeds on the 2 to 1 nap transition because I could talk about that for like 4 hours. So I'm going to link in the show notes here the episode I did specifically about the 2 to 1 nap transition. So if that's the one that you are thinking about or struggling with, go check out that episode because I think that's going to help you more than this episode will. But let's talk about, beyond those ranges, why do I extremely rarely, if ever, suggest moving a baby's nap schedule before, like outside of those ranges. The reason is because generally, if a family comes to me or we're in plan and the naps, you know, they're not connecting their sleep cycles, you know, they're having a hard time with it, thinking, well, let's move them to the next nap schedule that will help them. if we have a baby who is not already a good napper, taking away one opportunity to sleep is just giving them less total sleep. They're not going to magically start taking great naps because you withheld more sleep, right? It's kind of like the idea of like, well, let's just keep them awake all day so they sleep all night. Like, we all know that wouldn't work. But I will occasionally have a client come back who was like, oh, we were struggling with, you know, this nap suddenly, and so we decided to take one away. It was a total disaster. So we went back to your schedule and ended up like course correcting itself in a week or two. And I'm like, thank God you did that. Because typically when babies are struggling, well, there's really two things that are happening. If it's a baby that's never been a good napper, like this is the first time you're putting them on a nap schedule, they need time to learn how to do it, right? And the range is really wide, right? And we don't know until we start the process what side of the range they're going to be on. So there are absolutely babies that I will see start connecting sleep cycles on the first day. Like they are starting to nap. It's getting better and stronger each day. And then there are ones that it takes them a week or two for those naps to really make any like substantial progress. So it's a range, right? So if you're starting off and thinking, okay, we're like 7 or 8 days into trying this nap schedule and they're still taking 30-minute naps, clearly they need less naps. No, clearly they still need to work on it and learn, right? The other time that I will see families jump, prematurely to dropping a nap is one that has been a child that has been a good sleeper, a good napper, and their naps get worse for no apparent reason suddenly. And so the parents think, well, my kid must be like outside of the range, right? But in those cases, it's typically a growth spurt if there's nothing else you can pinpoint, right? So same thing, their body and brain is struggling to connect those sleep cycles, and you just took away a nap. So now instead of taking 3 30- or 40-minute naps, they're taking 2. So now they're exhausted and cranky, and you've just taken away a chance for them to sleep. So when you're outside of the ranges, that is why it's incredibly rare for me to suggest moving to the next nap schedule, right? To take away sleep. So if we're not doing it then, we're not doing it early, then what are the signs we look for that they are ready to move to the next nap schedule? So the number one thing is they're within that range. So if you're outside of the range, outside of something really unusual, like, you know, things happen, but something really unusual, then we're not even thinking about it. If you have a 5.5-month-old who's not taking their 3 naps very well, do not move to 2 naps. Like, that's not going to solve the problem, right? So we're within the range. And then what we're looking for, and this is part of the beauty why I love schedules so much, is because when you're on a schedule, you know the pattern. You're like, at exactly this time, they're typically getting sleepy, they fall asleep well, they take this nice 1.5-hour long nap. Like, you know what's normal and what's expected. Every day is not a mystery. It's very consistent. And then all of a sudden, after things have been consistent, you have a kid who's happy going down in their crib, they are happy taking good naps, they wake up fine, all the good stuff. And then all of a sudden, whether they're crying or not, it could just be that they're like chilling in the crib, just wide awake, but suddenly their naps or their night sleep is worse. They're within the age range that they'd be ready to transition. This suddenly worse sleep is not a 1 or 2 day thing. It's like a week or two. It's like every day they're suddenly waking up at 5:30 when they used to sleep till 7, or every day they're fighting the third nap and like don't sleep at all when they used to take it perfectly, right? And this happening day after day after day. It is not like, you know, we all have weird days, who cares? But it's like every day this is happening. And the last piece is there's not something else that you could say, well, yeah, but this is because they have the stomach bug, or it's because we, you know, flew to Singapore and there's a big time zone adjustment, right? There, oh, it's not the day you brought home a new baby from the hospital, which, frankly, if you have like a 11-month-old and you're bringing home a baby, I don't know how that would work. I guess that wouldn't be the case. You know what I mean, though, right? You moved houses, you moved across the country, whatever. Of course, there are going to be cases where sleep is objectively worse, but it's very clearly tied to something in your life. So it's when that isn't the case. Nothing could have caused it that you can pinpoint. They're within the age range. Sleep has gotten worse when it used to be really good, right? Because you have the data to support it. You know what your baby can do and has done historically, and this is very different. And it's happening consistently for like at least a week, if not more. That's your sign we're ready to move to the next schedule. So then the question becomes, how do you do it? So up until the 2-to-1 nap transition, you're really doing it cold turkey. Because when you're on 4 naps, moving to 3, and when you're on 3 naps, moving to 2, if you have a baby who's been getting really good solid sleep on those schedules, in my process at least, we're not ever giving them much less total sleep. Like, even if your baby on the 4-nap schedule was taking 4 perfect naps, all we're doing when we transition to 3 naps is pushing that first nap back a little bit. And then the last one is going to kind of magically go away. But it's only an hour less total sleep. And that's with the assumption that they were falling asleep exactly at the beginning of the nap time and waking up exactly at the end, which, of course, we're human beings. Like, there's some rolling around. There's some connecting cycles, right? They're not probably literally asleep the entire time. So those nap transitions tend to be relatively seamless. Of course, you should expect in the first couple of days they might be like a little crankier, a little fussier, especially because you have a baby who's on a great schedule. They're used to sleeping at the same times and you're changing it. But it's typically not that dramatic, and it's not, there's no upside to trying to like gradually do it by 15 minutes for 15 days. Like, you know, you guys know that stuff drives me crazy. It's stressful for you. It's stressful for your child. So you just do it cold turkey. And when you're going to the 2-to-1 nap transition, again, go to the episode I'm going to link here in the show notes, which will go into more detail. There's really 2 different ways I suggest doing that transition, and it has a lot to do with your baby's like natural sleep rhythms. So the interesting thing is, the older babies and toddlers get, the more variance there is in terms of schedules and sleep needs. When they're very young, it's relatively uniform. Of course, there's some tweaks, and there's like some babies need a little bit more, a little less, and there's things that we consider with your lifestyle, right? There's kids who have to get up at a certain time to make it to daycare, or a family where a parent works really late and so we're shifting so that they can see them, what, of course, but it does start to vary more the older kids get, right? Okay, so that's how we're doing it. And so what are the exceptions to the rule? So I absolutely have seen kids who are outside of the parameters I just mentioned. And like the most extreme range that I can think of is, I have seen a family I worked with when their daughter was, I think she was 4 months. And they came back to talk about, it was travel. Travel is what people always come back to talk about. Talking about travel. Homegirl is, I think she's not even 11 months. I think she's 10 and a half months and is already on 1 nap. And I was like, wait, what, you guys? Like, I was like, I'm sorry, what? And they were like, yeah, we just decided to do it. Love them. They're hilarious. And they just decided to give it a shot because they felt like she was ready. And I mean, she's sleeping from 7 to 7 and is napping from 12 to 3:30 every day. Like, that is the sleep I would want her to get, if not even like a little bit more on a 1-nap schedule. And if she is happy and content and can easily stay awake until noon and takes a solid 3.5-hour nap and then is happy and content until she goes to bed at 7 and is eating well, like, blessings up, right? That is really extreme though. That's the earliest I've ever seen a baby with a good sleep foundation and parents with a good schedule like transition to 1-nap successfully and have it be like very seamless, right? That's a very much an outlier. On the opposite end, I've also had a family come to me with a 20-month-old who is still taking 2 awesome solid naps, and they were like, what do we do? And I was kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But also at some point, like, I told them, by the time this child is 2, just put them on 1 nap. Like, they just, you need to do it, you know? But like, whatever, like, it was working for them. So that is a 10-month range I just gave you. And again, those babies are absolute outliers, but it happens, right? So my suggestion though, for anyone who's thinking like, but I'm going to be the outlier, I'm the one who's on these far ends, remember what I told you about having the data to support what a child needs. And that typically taking away a nap just means less total sleep. It does not mean consolidated better sleep. However, I'm always of the mind that if something is like itching at you and you really want to try it, you go for it. And guess what? If you're going to go for it, you need to stick with it for at least a week or 2, completely, like strictly, the same way you would have when you started, you know, teaching your baby to be a great sleeper and working with a new schedule and all that stuff. You got to stick with it for like a week or 2. And be honest with yourself about the improvements you're seeing. If you don't see decent improvement, then you need to go back to the other schedule, because that you weren't the unicorn outlier, right? And these kids are like 1 in 400 or 1 in 500 that I'm talking about. This is not a typical situation. But you know what? It's always worth trying. And I definitely have had clients come to me, which is always like very funny, just shoot me an email or something being like, we got a little cocky, she was 5.5 months, and we thought, you know what, we're just gonna do 2 naps or whatever. You know, they try some new schedule and they're like, spoiler, it was a disaster. We went back to the one you did, and thank God, you know, and then it was fine. So like, listen, I'd love to be proven wrong, you know. Send me an email if anyone is listening to this and you have a crazy outlier story, send it to me. email info@britneysheehan.com. We'd love to hear it. And I hope that gives you guys some good food for thought and some confidence around when and how you can start dropping naps. Okay. Love you guys. I'm sorry I said the word ho. Now for the third time. I hope you still love me. Okay. See you next week. Bye.
Loving the snooze button? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And please leave a review. I will read it and internalize it, so make sure it's very glowing. If you're interested in working with me or learning more about my courses, head to britneysheehan.com or follow me on Instagram @britneysheehansleep.